headquarters of Ramsey Solutions. It's the Ramsey Show, where debt is dumb, cash is king, and the paid-off home mortgage has taken the place of the BMW as the status symbol of choice. We help people build wealth, do work they love, and create actual amazing relationships. Thank you for joining us. George Camel, Ramsey Personality, is my co-host today. Open phones at 888-825-5225. That's 888-825-5225. Well, George, there's a couple of very interesting things have happened in the world of crypto.
Oh, yeah. This one, so we've seen the big crash, Dave, and we've talked about $1 billion lost in crypto scams. But the latest is that the crypto market has now lost $2 trillion in value. And this is from Yahoo Finance. Investors had nowhere to hide on Monday as both the stock market and cryptocurrencies tumbled. The crypto market saw its total market cap drop by roughly 12% on Monday to just $980 billion. The sector as a whole has now seen more than $2 trillion in losses since its peak back in November. Wow.
So it's down what now? 60-something percent since September?
That's a big hit. And people have been coming at me, Dave, because, you know, I've been making fun little videos about crypto, and they're saying, well, what about the stock market?
Well, what about the stock market? This stuff's down 65%. The stock market's down 20%. Can't you add?
No. The answer is no.
What about the stock market? It has a 70-year track record. What's crypto got? A track record of you losing your butt.
Well, and the stock market is based on actual companies that are producing actual things. That's a huge difference that we're not talking about. Crypto is just based on what one guy is willing to pay for it, and it produces nothing, which is why Warren Buffett famously recently said that he wouldn't
pay
$25.
Right before it actually crashed,
he
said, I wouldn't pay $25 for all of it. And now he may have overpaid if this keeps up.
That's true. He might be able to buy it all for $25 at this point. Wow.
And listen, in case you were afraid that this was going to be a problem, Twitter co-founder and Block CEO Jack Dorsey and rapper Jay-Z, both known for their financial prowess.
That's right.
Are going to save you. They're going to take great care of you because they have now opened the Bitcoin Academy for children.
Yikes. Is that a real sentence? That's a brand new sentence. No one has ever said that.
A spokesperson for the Bitcoin Academy confirmed to Fox Business that the curriculum will include topics such as what is money?
And go on. What else is there, Dave?
You're going to have to pick this up, George. I can't get my composure.
So they cover topics such as what is money, what is cryptocurrency, what is blockchain, and how to keep yourself safe from scammers. Oh, boy. This is the financial literacy the kids have been needing, Dave, teaching five-year-olds about blockchain.
Yeah.
Wow.
The in-person classes will be hosted two evenings a week and serve participants dinner. A Crypto Kids Camp program will also take place on two Saturdays for Marcy Kids and teens ages 5 through 17. The Academy will provide participants with MiFi devices and a one-year limited data plan, plus smartphones if needed.
Oh, good, good. Give the kids internet and smartphones and load them up with crypto. I think the dinner might be worth more than the crypto.
Whew, this is scary.
It might be worth it just for the dinner at this point. Crypto Kids Camp. Those are three words I never want to see.
The truth
together.
Is, these two guys really are trying to do something good, and they have no idea how dumb this is.
Yes. I love the heart behind it.
They're not bad guys. They're just trying to help somebody. And they're actually teaching something they believe, which the problem with that is it's just wrong. Not wrong morally, but just factually.
And of course, the article ends with, the Academy's launch comes amid a volatile time for the cryptocurrency market. Yeah. Well, if anything, hope the kids learn a lesson.
Oof.
Yeah. Wow. This is fascinating. Well, if we've learned anything from the...
But we did discover this week that Dave Ramsey actually agrees with the CEO of a crypto company.
This headline, petition...
Actually, that is a headline.
This
Dave Ramsey agrees with a crypto CEO.
Someone pick that up if you're listening.
That's
and you're
a headline journalist. Right there. That's a Twitter headline.
Well, it comes from this, Dave.
Because the chances
petition,
of me agreeing with crypto anything's probably really close to zero.
Oh, yeah.
But I do completely agree with this guy.
On a leadership standpoint, let's be clear. So,
well, we have to clarify.
Clarifying. That matters. Market Watch said, after petition for leadership changes, Coinbase CEO tells workers to quit if they don't believe in top execs. So there's been this big petition. All
you shouldn't work for some in a place where you don't agree with leadership,
or you don't trust leadership.
Or you don't trust leadership. That's what he said, which is exactly what I have said from the stage here in Ramsey. I tell our people that all the time. Don't let the door hit you in the butt.
Well, and you've also said that no cults tell you to do that. So that, which is a true statement.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a wonderful thing. Yeah, that I love his reaction to that. And by the way, like 3 days later, when crypto dove, they laid off 25% of their employees. So probably the dude that put out the petition for the CEO's head got fired. Mm. Which, if they'd have discovered him, they'd have fired him too. And they should have. Because listen, if you're so backward that you think, if you're a better leader than your leader is, go start something. Leave. Go start something. You don't get to tell him how to run his deal. That's his deal. I'm not going to tell him how to run his deal. I'm going to tell you not to buy his product because it's crypto, but I'm not going to tell him how to run his deal. I just love that. That's a good answer, dude.
Glad we found some middle ground between you and the
crypto found something
world.
That I agree on. Yeah, found something we agree on. Everybody's got something they agree on. You never know.
Yeah.
Apparently our hair care products are similar.
Me and you?
No, him.
Oh. Okay, he's bald, guys, just for the record.
Yeah, just for the record.
I got excited. I was like, Dave, what are you using these days? This is great. This is big news to me.
You got excited.
We use the same pomade,
George,
apparently.
George, you just get too excited too easily. All right, Brandon. Brandon is with us in Grand Rapids. Hey, Brandon, what's up?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you?
Great, man. How can we help?
I'm about to start a new job, and it is state employment, which means that it comes with some good retirement benefits. I wanted to hear your opinion because there's two separate options that I'm able to choose.
Okay, what are they?
Well, I want to preface it by saying that I think I remember you saying before that you would normally choose a standard savings plan, 401k, over a pension.
Almost always.
Yes. So the reason I'm calling is because when I got the sheet that shows the two options, one of the options was called a pension plus two plan. So the first plan is just the defined contribution plan, which mm-hmm. is savings only. It's right. a 401k. Mm-hmm. And then there's a pension plus plan that supposedly pairs the same benefits, but also a pension. And normally it would have a straight life option, which is what you would avoid. Mm-hmm. But it also contains a survivor option. And that says that it has
that
a reduced
too.
Pension.
Yeah. So how much, okay. If you don't take the pension, you can just do a 401k?
Yes.
And how much do they give you? How much do they give you in that case?
I'm not 100% sure yet.
Well, that would matter because the pension they are funding 100%. And usually if you don't do the pension and you do the 401k, they give you a big sweet match. And I'd want to know what that is because they're going to have cost either way.
They're trying to push people towards 401ks these days.
I would push it towards the 401k.
Incentivizing them with the match.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't think you're going to run the numbers in a way, Brandon, that's going to make you not do the 401k. I don't think it's going to happen. Calls on the show lately have been about the crazy real estate market, the pandemic, rising inflation and gas prices, fear of recession, the bear market. More than ever, people need hope with their money. Maybe you're feeling that way. Well, that's why you need Financial Peace University. This isn't your dad's version of FPU, though. We just did a massive update to our biggest and most famous money course. It's still our proven principles, but refreshed for what you're facing today. You're going to hear from me, of course, and Rachel, of course. Now, Dr. John Deloney and George Campbell are going to bring their fresh insights and show you new ways to look at your money. If you're feeling scared or overwhelmed, you're not alone. There's a lot going on out there. But most of it you can't control. The only thing you can control is you, and you can take control of you and your money, and your stress will go down. And your fear will go down. That's why we call it Financial Peace University. You can start FPU for free. Check out all the new content by visiting RamseySolutions.com/FPU. That's RamseySolutions.com/FPU. George, the new lessons in this are really good.
The team did an incredible job, and me and John Deloney, we tag-teamed the Wise Spending Lesson, the old Buyer Beware, which was a fan favorite.
Reworked it, retooled it.
Reworked
it. It's the best it's ever been. As a matter of fact, the whole course is head and shoulders the best it's ever been. We just launched all the new videos about a week ago.
Yeah, and I did Baby Step 3 as well. And both lessons, coincidentally, you're talking about finding peace and getting control. That's what both those lessons are about. Baby Step 3 is where you really start to feel the financial peace kick in, and getting control in a world where you're constantly bombarded with marketing messages telling you you're not enough, here's how you should be spending your money, this is the key to freedom. Man, we just kind of sort through all the noise, and I give you a plan on how to become a smart spender.
There is a lot out there to be afraid of right now, and a lot of different people's buttons are being pushed in different ways on all this economic news. And the truth is that fear is not a good decision-making tool. Panic is an even worse decision-making tool. And it's when you do the dumbest things, when you are functioning in fear, your lizard brain kicks in and your critical thinking skills disappear. Your critical thinking skills return when you pan back and you keep perspective. And what gives you the ability to do that is knowledge. The more you know about something, the more the game slows down. And you can play, and it seems like you're in the Matrix, and you can just dodge the bullets, right?
Yeah, and you don't fall for all the traps out there.
Exactly.
When you're a calm, level-headed, you're not doing the 401k loan and the HELOC and buy now, pay later, because you know better.
Yeah, it's just, you know, when you, how many times have I talked to somebody over the years, including myself in the mirror, and the dumbest things I've ever done are right after I got desperate and scared? I mean, that's just before you get really stupid, you're scared. Just before you get really stupid, you're desperate. The thing that will keep you from doing that and reacting to all the news instead of making a decision. Because here's the thing. Let's use the bear market as an example. Okay, the bear is here. Okay, the definition of a bear market is a 20% drop. And the stock market's down more than 20%. It's probably down 21% today total since the first of the year. Okay. Now, what does that mean? Have you lost everything? No. It means if you had $100,000 and you were retired, you already didn't have enough. And instead of 100, you have 80. If you had $1 million and you retired, instead of a million, you have 800. Really doesn't affect your life much. It really doesn't. But it affects your emotions a lot. And here's the other thing. There's been 14 bear markets since World War II.
Wow.
Okay. The average length of a bear market is 13 months. The average recovery time is 24 months, 2 years. Okay? So when will it be back to where it was in January? On average, 2 years. And that's happened 14 times.
And you lived through them all?
Since World War II. Yeah. I didn't live through all of them, but I lived through several of them. Yeah. Thank you, George. But
that wasn't an ace joke. I did not mean to go there.
No.
But
no,
it happened.
Too late. You just stumbled right into it. But yeah.
Tell us about the 40s, Dave.
But tell us about the 50s and the 40s. Well, that was a twinkle in my daddy's eye. But
what you're trying to say is perspective helps to go.
So yeah, there you go.
For a lot of us, this might be the first one we're experiencing.
It does give, because that's the thing. If you're if you're in your 20s, this is the first economic downturn for you as an adult. Because 2008, you were a baby child. Okay? So this is your first one. And so if you're 26 and you're freaking out, it's because it's your first car wreck. I've had several car wrecks. And so now I just get out and we exchange licenses and call the cops. It's just, man, as long as nobody's hurt, we're okay, right? And so, but the first time you have one, it's like, oh, God, yeah, you're right, yeah, you're right. You know, right? And it's traumatic. So, but when tragedy or trauma or something comes at you and it activates fear, it shuts your brain's ability down to do critical thinking skills. So let's pretend the market's down 20%. The big bad bear's out. Okay, now the bear is here. And what are we going to do with the bear? Okay, now think about it. Right, if the average, there was 14 of them, that's a pretty good data set, and the average is 24 months back. So where are you going to be in 24 months? 24 months older. Even if you're 68, you'll just be 70. If you're 24, you're going to be 26, and it's going to be back. So your 100, your 80 will be 100 again. Your 800 will be a million again. That's the average. And what will it be 5 years from now? It'll be way up 5 years from now. These are the averages. So when you pan back and you go, okay, when it drops, it generally comes back, like has every time, 100% of the time it is recovered, all the time. It's always gone up from there. So if you're looking at, if you're 26 and you're looking out there to 66, you're not really worried about what it does until you get out there. And there's no time in history that it's gone more than 5 years without making money. Zero, except the Great Depression. And this is not the Great Depression. There's some great stupidity going on in Washington, but it's not the Great Depression. It's different. And so just way different. It's a completely different set of facts and data and processes. And yet people get their emotions kicked in. And here's what's very interesting to me, George. Like, we posted this thing on Instagram about what was happening with the housing market.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, all the haters
that
come out.
That blew up.
Yeah, all the haters come out. So
you went viral.
But, Anyway, but the so whatever.
Use your filter.
Not since COVID, but yeah. But anyway, the when people that are intellectual become afraid, it's very interesting that the way their stupidity manifests is intellectually.
They
use data.
They
come up with these bizarre layered arguments to prove that the world is coming to an end because their emotions have already decided that the world is coming to an end, instead of panning back and actually being calm and looking at the data and looking at the historical precedents that are there and keeping perspective when they're doing this. And if you pan back and do all that, your little butt calms down. That's what it amounts to. Because if in perspective, you know what's going on. And that makes all the difference in the world.
You find whatever you're looking for. And if you look at the data and go, well, the world is coming to an end, it might be for you in your mind.
And you will intellectually fight for your right to be right about the world coming to an end.
And you'll bring everyone down with you around you. Real fun at parties.
And you know, here's the horrible thing, is it makes you a commenter on Instagram, which is the lowest form of life.
When you about Twitter?
You didn't even have something to say. You had to comment on something someone else said. I mean, this is like you've really hit bottom, honey. When the only thing you have to do is to comment on Instagram, you truly have hit bottom.
Well, they think that's the only thing in their control is the comment section.
You know how many times
section.
I've commented on Instagram?
Zero.
No.
Oh, once?
I said pretty baby. Nice dog.
Oh, wow. Is that on my
I've
Instagram?
I've done stuff like that. No, you don't have a baby. You have a nice dog.
Thank you.
But yeah. But the, I mean, great little Frenchies.
So you're saying you've only commented positive things.
Well, I mean, it's more like, yeah, my friend's got his little kid out there water skiing. And I'm like, that's awesome.
Because your mama taught you, you got nothing nice
awesome.
To say.
Don't say nothing at all.
Don't comment.
But I'm not going to get in there and argue with some dude I don't even know.
With no username.
And be wrong
picture.
In the comments section. It's so embarrassing. I wouldn't want to do that. Bless y'all's heart. Seriously.
Leave that to me, Dave. I'll handle the comment section.
Okay.
That's what the block button was invented for, Dave.
No
just for
step
you.
For a stepper.
Just for you.
This is The Ramsey Show. Of Ramsey Solutions, Tom and Kim are with us on the debt-free stage.
Hey.
T-shirts say "Living Financially Peaceful." I love it. Well done. Well done. All right, how much you paid off, guys?
We paid off $128,565, and we did it in 3 years and 2 days.
Way to go! Way to go! And your range of income in that 3 years and 2 days?
When we started, we were at about $138,000. By the end, 179.
Cool. What do y'all do for a living?
I'm an operations manager for a commercial distributor.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm an HR assistant manager for an auto part manufacturer.
Excellent. And you guys live where?
Plainfield, Illinois. It's about an hour southwest of Chicago.
Okay, cool. Cool. Well, welcome to Nashville. What kind of debt was the $129,000?
You name it. Student loans, personal loans, some medical bills. Two cars, credit cards, 401k loan.
Wow. Y'all were kind of normal.
We had it all.
You were normal.
Yeah. Yeah.
And normal sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Way to go, guys. Okay. How long y'all been married?
8 years.
Okay. So 5 years into marriage or so,
yeah.
You look up and you went, oh, crap, something's got to change. Tell me your story. How'd you get connected to Ramsey and what'd you do?
Yeah. So it actually started about a year before mm-hmm. we actually really got on board. Mm-hmm. We were, you know, going through just living normally. You know, if we could afford the payments, then we could afford something. Mm-hmm. We had an excellent I Love Debt score, mm-hmm. you know, and we're real proud. And we were just fighting all the time about money. And
you too?
Yeah.
Wow, I love it. That's
yeah.
cool.
Yeah, we all came right. a long way. So I think we had probably our 500th money fight, and I had added the total money makeover to my Christmas list, mm-hmm. and then Tom ended up buying it for me. So, okay. you know, there's our sign
almost
there.
In spite.
Yeah. yeah.
Like, here, read this.
Yeah.
Yeah. So wait a minute. What were y'all fighting about? What was the – obviously there was a lot of stress.
There were, a lot of it was on Tom paying the bills, and we weren't on the same page. We weren't communicating. We weren't doing it together. Mm-hmm. And it was.
But he wasn't doing it right? I mean, what was the problem?
I wanted to spend it, and he didn't want to spend it. So.
Oh, okay. There's the fight. That's what I thought. Okay,
yeah,
all right.
Yeah, yeah.
Now we're coming clean.
The all tension right. builds.
And so yeah. he did throw that Total Money Makeover book at you and said, read this.
He did. He yeah. did.
And which is so, really not a good way to get you to read it.
Well, I did get on board and I read it.
Oh.
A couple months after he got it for me for Christmas. Okay. I was on maternity leave. I read it. We decided, all right, let's do this. We got our envelopes. We got our budget. We paid off a couple of the small debts.
All right.
And then we decided, you know what? Let's do a really quick solution. Let's sell our house.
Ooh.
Yeah. So we decided to sell our house. We listed our house that was, you know, we were not even ready to do this. We got it ready. We went, Tom got a second job. And in that same week, I went back to work from maternity leave. He got a second job and we, put an offer in on a house and it was accepted and we had no offers accepted on our house. We hadn't even listed it yet. And so there was so much anxiety and stress around the entire situation. So we were the opposite of peaceful. And we so we were like, let's just get through this. And, you know, after just having my daughter, I was diagnosed with postpartum depression and anxiety, and that led to a lot of stress there. So we finished with the house, ended up, it worked out 10 out of 10. Do not recommend following our story, please. Don't do what we did.
So you did get it sold and you did buy the other one.
We got it sold and we bought the other one.
Okay.
I don't know how, but it all came through. But we go into this new house. We have, you know, no emergency fund. We're not ready at all. And about 4 days later, I went to the doctor for a lump. 4 weeks later, I found out it was thyroid cancer.
Oh,
about 4 weeks my. After that, I had surgery. And, you know, about 4 weeks after that, I had you know, my treatment for the cancer. And so it was about 4 to 5 months of just kind of crazy, you know, doctor's appointments and, you know, whatever we did have on the side or expected to get from the house was now going to these medical expenses.
Yeah.
So we kind of slipped into a point where it was like, you know, why us and why me? And well, let's get dinner because we deserve this, you know, or, you know, throwing out the cancer card or something.
Sure.
So then about a few months after that, things kind of settled with that storm. And I started listening to the podcast after downloading it like 3 months before I finally listened to it. And I listened to it every day on my commute to and from work. And I was like, Tom, we have to do this. We have to get back on it. And this time we have to do it together. And so we signed up for Financial Peace. We went through that together. He read the Total Money Makeover so that we were on the same page. And it was just a different vibe going through it together. And when we, you know, we were in the middle of Financial Peace and I found out I had to have another surgery. Mm-hmm. And this time it wasn't panic. This time it was, okay, that's all right. We can do this. So we, it really just kind of changed our mindset when we were doing this together and we were doing that peacefully. So.
How you doing now?
Good. Yeah. I'm real good.
Cancer in the rearview mirror?
Yep. Yep.
Cancer-free?
Yep, cancer-free.
For how long?
It's been about 2 years since they were able to say, like,
praise
cancer-free.
God. Mm-hmm. Praise God. That's awesome. Yeah. That is so awesome. Yeah. That's an important part of the story right there.
Yeah.
We get to keep you around. That's what we want. That's first choice. Worry about the debt stuff later. First, we got to keep you around.
Right.
Yeah. Good job. Wow. Wow. You're a warrior. I mean, with all that stuff you went through, and then you're the one the whole time saying keep at it.
Yeah. I mean, you guys busted it, and it sounds like this cancer was kind of the wake-up call that got you guys on the same page, and you went, this is scary, and if we can control anything, it's our money.
Yep.
Yeah.
We can't control all of life circumstances, but we can get our butts in order when it comes to our finances.
But this is real. I mean, you went from really tense in every part of your life to relaxed.
Yep.
And mm-hmm. peaceful.
That shirt has a whole lot more meaning now.
Yeah, living 100%. Financially peaceful. Yeah.
It sure does.
What do you tell people the key to getting out of debt is?
Commitment.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Got to buy in. You got to stick to it.
I guess in this case, for sure. Yeah.
And being intentional and communicating, you know, even if you're kind of anxious about the conversation or something you want to buy, you know, mm-hmm. just talk with your partner. Mm-hmm. Just be communicating.
How's it feel to be free?
Oh, great. So free.
I mean, you're cancer-free, debt-free.
Amazing.
So that's like a two-for-two right there.
And probably fight-free. Has there been a lot of money fights since becoming debt-free?
No.
No.
Wow.
No.
But the first 5 years, lots of fights.
Lots of them.
Yes.
All the time.
Wow.
So cool.
Yeah.
That's a transformation. Yeah, you were normal and now you're not. Be not conformed to this world. You don't want to be normal. But be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Well done, y'all.
Thank
well
you.
Done. You're amazing.
Thank
Absolutely
you.
Powerful.
Thank
All right. We got a copy of Baby Steps Millionaires for you. That's the next chapter in your story. You're definitely going to be that. And, of course, in addition to that, a Total Money Makeover book and a one-year subscription to Financial Peace University with the brand-new classes. You want to go through it, you can. Or you can give it to somebody since you guys have been through it. Let's bring the kiddos up. What are their names and ages?
Aiden, who's 6, and Emma, who's 4.
All right. And it says Financial Peace Baby on each T-shirt. I like it. Well done, guys. Oh, they're good looking.
So
I love it. That's so fun. Well done, well done. All right, it's Aiden and Emma and Kim and Tom from the Chicago area. $129,000 paid off in 3 years and 2 days, making $138 to $179. Count it down. Let's hear a debt-free scream.
You ready? 3, 2, 1.
We're debt-free!
The littles have been practicing. I like it.
Wow.
Oh, wow. A lot of drama. That one takes your breath away right there. Woo! Man, I love freedom. This is The Ramsey Show. I just had one of the guys in our real estate department that works with all the real estate agents send me a graph a second ago. I thought this was very interesting. George and I are looking at it at the break. So, okay, for the last many years up until the pandemic, lumber ran an average of, I'm pulling this graph here, I don't even know what this is, 572. So 572 somethings. What is that? I don't know what it's based on. Okay, lumber was basically didn't go up. It was sitting at this 572 baseline. I don't know. I guess it's per board foot or whatever. And then, of course, there's a shortage of lumber because the lumber factory shut down during quarantine. And lumber went over double in the high point was May of 21.
Wow.
Okay. So a year ago.
Is that triple?
Yeah.
That's pretty wild.
No, it's triple.
Wow.
Triple. It tripled. Now, today, it is back down to 568. So lumber is priced today about what it has been priced for the last 10 years after having shot up triple and come back down. Now, that enters into what it costs to build a house. By the way, the number one line item if you're building a house in your budget is the lumber cost, not counting labor. Labor is your biggest cost. But your number one line item materials-wise is the lumber package, because that's the biggest part of the home structurally, unless you're building an unusual home. But, I mean, a typical home built in America, the lumber cost is your biggest item in there in a normal build.
Which has shot up the price of new construction.
So it went up 3X during pandemic quarantine shortages, and now is back to normal. That's a good sign, okay? That's an example of the pandemic shortages working themselves out over time. Shortages of cars drives price up. Shortages of baby formula drives the price up. Shortages of ... builds the price up. But when it comes back is when the supply comes back up to meet the demand. And once the lumber factory's got the supply going again, it's normalized. It's calmed down. It's back down. So that element of inflation isn't there anymore. So inflation's killing us. The part that was created by the pandemic shortages, the quarantine-created shortages, the economic suppression created by Fauci, where we shut down the economy and created all these problems with production, so there were shortages of everything, drove the price up. That created, was a big factor in this current inflationary cycle. It had nothing to do with interest rates. It had nothing to do with the white-hot economy. It had to do with shortages. Shortages always drive prices up. Well, the shortages are redeeming themselves. The supply is now equaling the demand in a whole lot of these areas of the world, a whole lot of these commodities like lumber. This is a good sign. It's a very hopeful sign.
So it's going to help normalize the housing market.
Yeah. So, and the same thing is going to happen, and the recession is going to push it over the edge on the labor. Labor cost is going to come back down. It's shot up artificially, but suddenly when you can't get a job, the thing's going to come back down. Okay. And then the last piece will be energy, and that's going to have to do with Biden turning the spigot back on and doing domestic production again, because otherwise his whole party is going to lose every seat they've ever had if he doesn't do this, because nothing will get you thrown out of office politically faster than a bad economy. People get pissed off when you
start
mess with their wallet.
With that. Oof.
Yeah, it's a bad idea. So I think we're going to be okay, boys and girls. Jason's in Portland, Oregon. Hey, Jason, what's up?
Hey, Dave. Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Yeah, I just had a question for you. I need some advice here. So I'm 49 years old. I'm single. I've been divorced now about 14 months, and I'm just kind of in a new season of my life, kind of starting over. And I'm looking right now to possibly purchase a home.
Mm-hmm.
I have $70,000 in savings. I'm thinking of doing that, but the other option I think about, I really want to get debt free. I have a car. Right now, it's a 21 Toyota Camry. I owe $28,000 on it.
What do you make?
And what do I make per year? Mm-hmm. One little over $100,000.
Okay. George?
Well, yes. I absolutely think your second option is the right one for you. I want you to become completely debt-free with a fully funded emergency fund of 3 to 6 months of expenses, and then I want you focusing on the down payment. So the question is, how quickly can you do that, and what will it take?
Yeah, I mean, and that's kind of my line of thinking too. I mean, I want to pay off this car loan. I mean, I could do it.
Do it today. What's stopping you?
When you hang up, pay it off. And then the other question is, do you keep it? I might rather have a house and a hoopty than be waiting to save up a down payment and renting and driving a nice car.
Right.
It's up to you, but I might do that. Especially if I was single and my wife wasn't there to gripe about it.
Right. Yeah,
I mean, give me advice about it.
I don't need a fancy car. I mean, I would like just to pay this thing off.
What's it worth if you sold it today?
Oh, gosh. I would guess.
In the low 30s?
Because
a guy just called in, and he had a 21 Camry.
Yeah, see, but I drive a lot for my job, so my miles are pretty high up there. I would say it's probably around, 26, 27.
So you,
what it's worth.
Here's the thing. Let's just play. Okay, two options. All right, one, you pay the car off and you set your emergency fund aside, and then it takes you 6 months to build up a down payment for a house, and so you buy a house, you know, Christmas or whatever, right? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's option one. Option two is you sell the car and you put a drive a $5,000 car and you buy a house now, and at Christmas mm-hmm. you save up and buy another better car.
Right.
I'll probably do that one.
Yeah. That sounds like a good plan. I like that.
Because interest rates on your mortgage might be higher at Christmas than they are now.
Uh-huh.
They're trending up.
Right.
So,
right.
I don't know, but that... And the point is, I don't want you to drive... You make $100,000 a year. You don't need to drive a hoopty the rest of your life. But if you drove one for 6 months or a year, and it got you into a house 6 months or a year faster, and you beat the mm-hmm. curve on some of these real estate weirdness that's out there. I mean, don't go pay too much for a house. They're not desperate here, but, you know, go get you a nice condo, man, in Portland, Oregon. That's a cool place to live.
Right.
I mean, you might not even want a house. You might want something where you don't have to do the maintenance so you can enjoy the freedom of, you know, being single again and all that kind of stuff. That's what
I like this plan.
So, any idea on that car?
Yeah, I'm definitely seeing. I think you could sell it for 30 or more in this market still.
Hmm.
So I would definitely look at some.
See, that pays
there.
For the other car. I mean, that means you got 70 grand clear because you got enough out of this car to get another car above what you owe on it. So you got 70 grand clear. You set 20 aside for emergency fund, 50,000 for your down payment on the house. Let's go get a house. Neither one of these plans, Jason, is in the stupid column. Either one is fine. It's just a matter of preference. But the beauty of buying now is you could get a better interest rate on the mortgage than you'll get in Christmas. And if mortgage rates go down, you can always refinance. But
you have to worry about that with cars because you're going to pay cash.
So if I'm wrong, you know, if I'm wrong and rates don't go up between now and Christmas, you just refinance if they go down. I hope they go down.
But it's looking at the priorities and opportunity costs going, well, if I drive a $30,000 car, well, I might have to wait longer to get into this house.
You do have to wait longer, mathematically, because you need to be debt-free, have an emergency fund, and a down payment, period, before you buy a house. If you're going to do that, then put it on a 15-year fixed rate where the payment's no more than a fourth of your take-home pay. Jason, if I'm in your shoes, I am selling the car and buying me a hoopty and buying a house this summer right now. And no hurry, no rush. Don't panic and pay too much for the house. You don't need to get in a bidding war with some crazy goob. Just go slip around, find you a good deal on
the
house.
I hope these bidding wars, I think they're over, Dave, right? We can't.
I think they are.
I've seen that part calm down, which is good news.
It would not make me mad if they were gone forever, the bidding wars. It was not good for the real estate market and not good for the psyche of the American public buying a house. Not good at all. And we have the largest group of home buyers in American history sitting at 35 years old. They're called millennials. That puts this hour of the Ramsey Show in the books. Dave here. You can find all of our shows with the Ramsey Network app on your smartphone. It's the only place to listen to the entire back catalog of episodes. Download the Ramsey Network app in your favorite app store today.
If you enjoy this podcast, you should check out other great podcasts from the Ramsey Network, like The Ken Coleman Show.
Are you doing what you were born to do? I'm Ken Coleman, host of The Ken Coleman Show, where I give you practical advice to help you discover your purpose and then map out a plan to get you there. From accounting to advertising, from plumbing to production, you were created to fill a unique role, and the world needs what you have to offer. Join me on The Ken Coleman Show wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, it's James, producer of The Ramsey Show. This episode is over, but check the episode notes for links to products and services you heard about during this episode. Thanks for listening.